Welcome to Long-Term Care Radio on Seattle's Cairo Radio. Long-Term Care Radio is brought to you in part by 525 Advisors, your local long-term care experts. Brian Ott is a certified long-term care planning specialist and will show you how to protect the people you love from the financial, physical, and emotional consequences of a long-term care situation. Because of new state and federal laws, there are new and exciting options you need to know about. Now, here's your host, Brian Ott.
And good morning and welcome to Long-Term Care Radio. You know, I always say good morning, but it could be afternoon if you're listening on the podcast.
That is true.
Yeah, so we're live in the studio. But again, if you ever miss one of our shows, you can always get it on our podcast at 525longtermcare.com. And it's really kind of nice because there's a lot of podcasts that I listen to now throughout the day. And I just get the app on my phone and boom and go. And so, but I know we have quite a few people that are up and at it this morning. We are headed over to Bellevue this morning for our long-term care class this morning that starts off at 9.
Yeah, and these classes are great because they're really just the best way to start and meet Brian and I in person.
Yeah, and we get a lot of feedback. I know there's people that listen to us. We actually have clients all over the country now, and a lot of people will just go through our website. We've kind of laid our website out. We're going to be rolling out a new website, I think, next year once we kind of nail all that stuff down. But the whole idea, what Madeline talks about the class, what we're really just trying to say is start with education. You're taking the first step right here at Long-Term Care Radio because there is so much misinformation.
Yes.
And not just about long-term care, but about all kinds of stuff out there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, all things surrounding retirement planning. There is just a lot of different perspectives and advice that you'll get.
Well, there's a lot of misinformation out there. And one of the things that people, I think, don't understand, including advisors and attorneys and CPAs, is what insurance is and how it really works.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at a speaking event a couple weeks ago, and you know, I about had a heart attack up there on stage because somebody had asked a question and the information that was given back to him, the answer was just completely wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to mix words on this. It was just wrong. And the question was, what happens, you know, about, I think the question was based on an annuity, which is what an insurance companies sell annuities. They sell life insurance. They sell long-term care insurance. Annuity is insurance for your money, so to speak. Well, the question, what the answer was, well, the money goes into the stock market and they keep that gain and then they just give you a small amount. So why should you do that? You should just invest it with, you know, an investor. And folks, that is so wrong. It's like, excuse me, the point of insurance, if you buy something like an annuity or you buy one of these asset-based long-term care contracts, is that the insurance company is a cash reserve company. That money is going into their general account, which is generally tied up in government bonds.
Mm-hmm.
So they're getting their 1.5-2%, whatever. They might have some corporate bonds if they're rated high enough. But what they do in an annuity situation, the reason why they can give you a higher return is because they're buying options. And if they don't exercise those options, they eat it. And you can do that yourself. It's just that it takes a lot of sophistication and a lot of work, but that's why they can guarantee that you don't lose money. And so my point is that people will say stuff like that. Annuities have been around forever. Life insurance has been around forever. Long-term care insurance has been around for, you know, 40 plus years. And people still don't understand that what insurance is a guarantee.
Yeah. And the safety.
The whole idea is the guarantee is not that it's guaranteed if the market performs well. No, it's a guarantee. That's why we have it. If I lose my life, my family gets a check. It's guaranteed. That's what my life insurance does. If I end up in a long-term care situation, I get a monthly check, guaranteed. It doesn't matter what the market's doing. Oh, and by the way, if the market does crash and I have my money in annuity, I'm guaranteed not to lose my principal balance. That's because that's what insurance does. It provides these guarantees. So we just teach these classes because I see other professional people that mean well, and maybe they're really good in their lane, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
whether it's the legal side or the finance side, but they don't understand insurance. And so that's why we do this radio show and we do the classes.
And why we specialize in it, because it is something that needs to be fully understood in order to be able to actually design proper plans for people.
Absolutely, yeah. So today we're going to talk about qualifying for long-term care. And we got a question of the week, and you can always see, you can send us a question at our website at 525longtermcare.com. You'll see right underneath upcoming events, there's Long-Term Care Radio question of the week submission. And this question comes from Linda in Seattle. And Linda says, I am 68 years old and was turned down 3 years ago for long-term care insurance when I applied. Will other companies approve me or is it too late? And this is a great question.
Yeah, and we do run into this a lot because it's a very tricky situation with underwriting and submitting to the right company.
Well, yeah, and so the short answer for Linda, is it too late if you've been turned down? A lot of it depends on what you've been turned down for. So we will see cases, let's give you an example, that you fell and you sprained your ankle. Like my mom did this when she was younger on a trampoline, had a really bad sprain. It took about 9 months to heal up. So you're going through some physical therapy, and if you apply during that period, most insurance companies are just going to say no, because what they want to see is they want to see you get out of the physical therapy and make sure there's no lingering effects. Now, the insurance agent should know that, but I am so surprised at how many don't. They don't do the pre-screen like we do. They don't ask those questions, and they just submit, and they think, oh, it should be okay, or you have a broken arm, or you've got shoulder therapy or something going on like that. Well, Linda, that is something that if you're out of physical therapy and you're healed up, that's just an example. Yeah, you can apply again for long-term care insurance. Now, if it was a turndown because you didn't test well on a cognitive situation, or you had
a diagnosis in your medical records that was something
ongoing lingering heart problems that seem to be getting worse, you have a chronic condition, then probably it is too late. But a lot of it depends on what you were turned down for, and I just can't stress that enough. I would say probably 3 out of 4 people that get turned down, a lot of the times those people can qualify if they were submitted to the right company.
Mm-hmm. Or at the right time.
That's right. Now, some of it's just medication, too. Maybe I'm taking gabapentin, and so company A says, you know what? No, we just turn down everybody that takes gabapentin. And other companies will look at it and say, hey, wait a second. Gabapentin for pain, it's regulated. It's worked for years. Okay, we're okay with that. Mm-hmm. There's no other side effects to it. So, again, it just really depends on that. And I think that one thing that a lot of people need to understand, the downside for Linda here is that, now it was 3 years ago, but most of the insurance carriers, when we apply for a long-term care contract, they ask you that in the question.
It's on every application. They do ask, have you ever been declined or rated for insurance?
In the last, most of them are 2 years, right? Some say ever.
Yeah, but that's where an explanation comes in.
Yeah. So it doesn't mean that you're automatically turned down if you have been turned down before, but some companies will. Some companies will just simply say, if you've been turned down in the last 2 years, we are not going to accept your application. We're not going to spend the time to underwrite it, because that's really what they're trying to avoid. They're saying the probability of you've been turned down in the last 2 years is not good, so we're just not going to even spend the time and the effort to underwrite those.
Mm-hmm.
But other companies, again, if it was because of I was in physical therapy or I was in a car wreck and we can write that letter of explanation, then absolutely, Linda, there is a chance that you can get some long-term care coverage. So we're going to spend a little time on that in today's show, because I just think that we have to understand what's involved in underwriting. Underwriting is just key to long-term care. We say it over and over again on this show. Your health is what allows you to get long-term care insurance. Your cost is what determines the premium, meaning that if I'm healthy in 50, I will pay less than for the same amount of insurance than if I'm healthy in 60. However, if I'm unhealthy at 50, I may not qualify. And if I'm healthy at 60, I may qualify. So there's a lot that goes into that. So we're going to head into our first break here real quick. And when we come back, we're going to start the conversation. What does it take in underwriting? What's the process about? And we'll explain that when we get back to Long-Term Care Radio.
Many people with near or over $1 million in assets will mistakenly pay more in taxes in a long-term care situation than it would have cost them to set up an insurance plan to pay for the care needed. Learn more by attending Brian's free asset-based class. Sign up now at 525longtermcare.com.
My dad would always say the three worst words in the English language were shoulda, coulda, and woulda. So many people with retirement right around the corner or in the middle of it have the shoulda, coulda, wouldas facing them. They're not proactive. You didn't take care of the will. You didn't take care of the trust. They didn't do what was needed to do when it came to real estate and taxes. So right now, let's avoid the shoulda, coulda, wouldas and call Rick Gregorick. Rick Gregorick is my estate planner. I sat down with Rick, explained my situation. He walked me through all the different variables, whether it was a trust or a charitable trust, real estate or taxes. It is so complicated. You've got to rely on an expert like Rick, who is so kind and knowledgeable about all of it. So be proactive. Take control of your life now. You can schedule a complimentary consultation at yourpartnerinlaw.com. You can also listen to Rick's show, Your Partner in Law, every Sunday morning at 9 on Cairo and KTTH. Your Partner in Law with Rick Regrick, my estate planner, yourpartnerinlaw.com.
Ed Story Monson with Darlene, who is a new client of 525 Advisors. And first of all, Darlene, tell me, why were you looking into long-term care in the first place?
So at the time I found 525 Advisors, I was working for the federal government. I looked into their long-term care plans, but they have what I call a cookie-cutter approach, meaning that it's one plan for everybody. So I met 525 Advisors through another business acquaintance, and Brian Ott was able to show me that there were better plans out there, and he actually was able to make a tailor-made plan for me that was right both for in cost and for coverage.
Awesome. And I talked to somebody a couple days ago, another listener who had contacted Brian and Madeline, and they said they just didn't feel any high pressure. They didn't feel like they were talking to a salesperson at all, that they were just getting advice. Was that kind of your experience?
Right. I really feel, Dory, that Brian and Madeline aren't just in the selling business of long-term health care plans. They're actually in the people business. So they've made me feel like they care about people. They cared about me. I would highly recommend them. They're very personable. They are responsive. When you call them, they get right back to you. I just felt overall comfortable in working with them. I would advise anyone to give them a call, and they will be able to steer you in the direction that you want to go. I think they're excellent, and I would recommend them to anyone.
Whew, that is a great testimonial, Darlene.
Thank you. I believe it, Dory.
Yeah, I know. I can tell. That is awesome. Find out if long-term care is a good option for your family. Attend one of Brian's upcoming classes. That's how my wife and I got started. You will learn so much. Seating is limited, so register now at 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
This is Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott. Listen and learn information from a certified long-term care planning specialist. You can email your questions to radio at 525advisors.com.
And thanks again for tuning in to Long-Term Care Radio this morning. We are headed over to Bellevue for our long-term care planning class that's going to kick off at 9 a.m. So if there's anybody out there on the fence, we still have a couple seats. We can squeeze you in. Information's on our website at 525longtermcare.com. Super easy to get to right off of the southeast 8th exit. That's the main exit is northeast 8th exit, so we're just one to the south, easy off of 405 either direction. Come on over. Free parking. Spend a couple hours with us. Get a copy of our free book, A Guide to Long-Term Care Planning. And again, the best part about the classes is not me up there talking. It's the questions that people ask, because it gets people thinking, I didn't think about that. What if in this situation, how would it work?
It turns into a fantastic discussion every time. It surprises me because it goes different ways. I mean, there's always similar questions that are asked, but the stories that are shared and the conversation just is different each time.
Yeah. In one of the questions that's always asked, we're going to talk about this today. Will I qualify?
Mm-hmm. Well, and what is the qualification process like?
Yeah. So first off, let's talk about this for a second. All long-term care insurance plans require some type of underwriting. Underwriting itself is the act of reviewing your information. So when they say, I'm going to underwrite a file, that means it's like a mortgage application. They're going to look at your income. They're going to look at your credit. They're going to look at all that data. Well, they do the same thing in a long-term care or a life insurance or a disability policy. They underwrite it. And so underwriting requires the collection of data, and it's generally going to start with the insurance companies. They're going to basically want to review your health, and they're going to want to see what's going on in your life. Are there any problems? So almost all of the underwriting, all the insurance companies, we're going to start with the application, and the application is going to have a series of questions. Health questions. Tell us about, in the last 5 years, have you been diagnosed with any of these illnesses, or have you had any procedures? What medications are you taking?
Is there any diagnostic testing you're supposed scheduled to have or have recently had?
Yes. And so any of those questions, depending how you answer them, doesn't automatically rule you out. What they're just simply saying is that's going to determine the level of underwriting. So when I went through my policy just recently this last year and added an asset-based plan, I ended up having a phone interview. I answered the application, and then they called me and they did a phone interview. So what happens on the applications, a lot of people say, well, what do I do? Do I have to go through a physical? Do I have to do all this stuff? Well, we don't know that. What we're going to do is we're going to find out. We start with a pre-screen, and then we have a pretty good idea before we take that application of what the procedure is going to look like. Mm-hmm. And that also allows us to kind of narrow down the insurance companies that will consider the application. But once the application is taken itself, we are then going to submit that to the insurance company, and everybody's generally going to start off with the phone interview.
Mm-hmm. If you're older than 65, certain companies will come in and say maybe they want to do a face-to-face interview with you. So it's basically like the phone interview, but it's in person. So mm-hmm. they'll be asking you the questions in person, doing a height, weight, blood pressure check.
Yeah, and so really the phone interview is initially they're just – kind of regurgitating the questions that are on the application. They're going to go over that information again, and you're going to say, well, I answered all this. But what they're doing is they're looking at the application you filled out, and then they will add some additional questions based on how that's answered. And depending on your age, you will go through a cognitive test possibly. Like they might give you a series of words and then mm-hmm. come back at the end and say, can you put these in a sentence, or can you tell me how many words, you know, how many do you remember out of the 7 words I gave you? It's called the Minnesota Cognitive Test. So most of them, and again, that depends on your age. The older you are, the more intense the cognitive test is going to be. The younger you are, a lot of times they just don't ask a whole lot about it at mm-hmm. all. And so, but you start with that phone interview. Now, that could lead straight to the approval. And so in my case, I did the phone interview and then we got the approval. However, that phone interview could also lead, it's going to go back to the underwriter. It's a third party that does the phone interview, by the way, too. Most insurance companies, think of it as the appraiser. You go to apply for a mortgage at the bank, and then the bank's going to hire an appraiser. That appraiser is a trained, certified third party. Mm-hmm. That's what most of the insurance companies do. They hire a third party that's going to handle these phone interviews, and so they might do it for several companies. But they're going to get that information, gather it, and send it to the insurance company, and that underwriter's job is to look at that phone interview, look at those results, and then they might come back and say, based on the way these questions were answered – or the information that the phone interview provided, we are going to request an attending physician statement.
Mm-hmm. Or medical records.
That's exactly what it is, right? And so now that will be what the insurance company will do is contact your provider, your doctor. They will order it. Your doctor will send that to the records keeping company. It's their job then to get that information gathered and send it to the insurance company. So we don't see it. We don't gather it. We don't have you go out and gather it. The insurance company is going to get it directly from your provider. So that would be the next step. I do the phone interview, and then they order some medical records. Now, I do the phone interview. Maybe they get the medical records, or they want to do a face-to-face. We'll see this more. This is more likely to happen on an older client, someone in their 70s. They might come out and do an EKG, for instance.
Mm-hmm. Or someone who's had certain health issues mm-hmm. that they want to just maybe just do the test themselves, because then they have a good idea of your actual health.
Yeah, and so what they're really doing on the face-to-face is they're going to come out and they're going to say, and sometimes a paramed exam, they, like you were saying earlier on, they will skip that, the phone interview, and just come out and do the face-to-face. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they will do that, and sometimes we can request that. Sometimes that's easier because then they won't go out and get medical records. And a lot of times what they're doing is saying, hey, we're going to do the face-to-face so we can see how you live, we can see how you move, we can see, you know, you in person and get a better feel for that.
And they have their own lab, so they're not relying on a doctor's office or something like that.
Yeah. So those are really the general steps in what we're trying to do in underwriting processes. Someone's going to apply for a policy, then we're going to do a phone interview in most instances, and then we may get medical records or we may go to a face-to-face. And so the people will always ask, they picture, gosh, I'm going to get stuck with a needle. I'm going to have to do this physical, or I got to go see something. That is rare.
Mm-hmm. We'll update you and warn you.
Yeah, it can happen on a face-to-face. And sometimes we want the face-to-face. I mean, let's face it, not everybody is super smooth on the telephone. And so those interviews, if you're sitting there on the phone for an hour, it's easy to get distracted. And if they're doing the cognitive test, you have to be aware of that. So sometimes the face-to-face interview is preferable, because that's going to usually be somebody that's going to have a medical background. They're going to come out, they're going to sit down with you, you're going to be face to face, and I think it's easier to hold your concentration basically through that cognitive test.
Well, and they get a better idea of you as a person face to face. They get to see how healthy you are.
Absolutely. Especially if there was something in the past, like maybe you had a handicap placard in the past and you had a surgery and now you're up and running, you've gone through physical therapy, you're active again. Now they can see that face-to-face. That's going to be a positive thing for you if you can get that face-to-face interview.
Because that's something I address in the cover letter. If I know they're not going to do a face-to-face and then just do the phone interview, I let them know, you know, we've met with the clients in our office. They're very active. They're healthy. You know, they just move around great.
Mm-hmm. It's a good point. Now, the next thing you ought to understand about underwriting is that not all companies underwrite the same way. One thing that I didn't touch on is basically every single company on every application is going to do what we call an Rx check or a prescription drug check. And that is going to just simply be if you put down on the application, I'm not taking any medications, and then they do an Rx check, they shouldn't see any medications. Mm-hmm. However, they may see that you are actually prescribed a certain medication, and now you're in trouble. Because it goes both ways, right? If you are prescribed something and you're not taking it, well, then you're not following the doctor's orders. Or if you are taking something and you didn't disclose that on the application, well, then you gave
you were omitting information.
Yeah, you're omitting information, and that's not going to be good either way. So you have to list that stuff up, and we tell everybody you got to be open and honest. We want to know up front. We can't hide something from the underwriters. They're going to find that.
Well, and telling us, that's why you work with us and do the pre-screen, because if you tell me that, then I can go back in, because maybe you were taking pain medications for a bum knee you had, mm-hmm. you know, but it was a year ago, you know, and you're off of them now.
Right.
But they'll still see that. Then we can explain that in the cover letter, and it's no big deal.
Yeah, that's a valid point. Maybe you're not taking it right now, but maybe like 3 months ago you were. We just still need to know that information because all of the insurance companies will do an Rx check. Now, some will require medical records on all of their clients if you're past a certain age. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're over 65, you're doing a traditional plan, they're going to require medical records on just about everybody. There's some companies that will do that, but not all companies. And a lot of them, again, the way they underwrite, especially there's a huge variation. Now, if we look at traditional plans, some plans will sit there and say, I won't take this particular drug, but I will accept this drug. You know, so gabapentin is one of them that we know we run into all the time. Some carriers just say, absolutely not. Other carriers will say, well, what's it being used for? We'll mm-hmm. consider that. Now, if we move from traditional to an asset-based or to a hybrid-based plan, what we have to understand there is that those two underwriting philosophies are completely different. So a lot of people that will be a turn down on a traditional will be a preferred rating on an asset-based plan. And what I mean by that is that the traditional company says there's too much risk in this because the way a traditional plan works is I am just paying money in and year out. But if I go on claim, I stop making my payments. So what they're trying to do is weed out people that are close to a long-term care situation or maybe on the borderline on a health that might trigger a long-term mm-hmm. care event sooner.
Just a higher risk.
It's just a higher risk for the insurance company because they just don't have as much time to collect premiums to turn, like they know, right? 7 out of 10 of us are going to end up in long-term care. So
that's already a high probability.
They are looking for, you know, they're just going to do what we call tighter underwriting. However, when we go to an asset base, now we have different underwriting guidelines, and also how do we fund that plan? That's going to determine your underwriting level. If I'm walking in on an asset-based plan and saying, hey, here's a lump sum of money, the insurance company has your money up front to put to work. Okay, they're protected because when you go on claim, you're spending that money down first. If I'm making payments over time and there's a waiver of premium on those payments, meaning once I trigger a claim, I don't make payments anymore, well, now the insurance company has a higher risk because you could go out and get hit by the bus tomorrow and end up in a long-term care situation and you're not making any more payments and now that money is, you know, stopped flowing into the insurance company and it's got to, you know, they've got to start paying the claims.
Yeah, so they measure risk differently.
A lot of choices there. But again, underwriting, there's a process to it. Carriers are all different. That's why we start with the pre-screen situation on just about everybody. We're going to head into our next break here real quick and take a little time out for the news and we will be right back to Long-Term Care Radio.
Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott, providing valuable insight to protect you in the event of an extended healthcare situation. Learn more by attending one of Brian's free classes this month. Sign up now at 525-longtermcare.com. 525-longtermcare.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Brian Ott from 525 Advisors and host of Long Term Care Radio. And Brian, we have another great question from a listener. What happens if I don't use my long-term care insurance?
You know, Dory, nobody likes to pay for something they don't use. In the past, if you never used your long-term care insurance, the premiums you paid were simply gone, just like homeowners or car insurance. But you know what? Things have changed. We now have new programs that will pay you back even if you don't use them for long-term care. You can find out about all the new programs, including ones that pay you back, at 525longtermcare.com. While you are there, you can send us your question and even sign up for a free class. And don't forget to join us every Saturday morning on Cairo for Long Term Care Radio.
Brian has a long-term care planning class coming up Saturday, November 16th. Seating is limited, so sign up today at 525longtermcare.com. Classes are free. You'll even get a copy of Brian's book, which has a ton of great info. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
Are you confused about the best way to protect your family and savings? Get answers now by listening to Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott, certified long-term care planning specialist with 525 Advisors.
And welcome back, and thanks for tuning in. It's a rainy Saturday morning here at Seattle area. And
very
we're
going
to head over to our class this morning, so it's a great time to come in and learn. In fact, I love that in the summer. It's like every time the sun busts out, you know, we lose a lot of the signups, and so... I know, because it's easy to get distracted, but it's a good day to come learn about long-term care. And today we were just talking about some of the underwriting and some of the process that's involved. And what we're really just trying to stress on here is a lot of people will always ask, will I qualify? Well, we don't know. That's why we start with a pre-screen. But our fallout rate is just minimal. If we look at nationally, about a third of the people that apply for long-term care insurance get turned down, which I just think is horrible. Mm-hmm. It should be, you know, we're less than 5% by far, maybe 2% or 3%, because we do the work up front.
Yeah. And I mean, people ask, you know, why don't I just go straight to the insurance company? Well, when you work with an independent specialist like us, that's the work that we do on our end to make sure that you don't have to worry about how you're presented to the insurance company, because we guide you through that process to put you in the best light possible.
Yeah, and that's a good point, too, that if I go directly to the insurance company, there are, like, insurance companies that have captive agents. So 525 Advisors is an independent company, meaning we work with all the different carriers out there. But if I'm a captive agent, I am trying, and I worked for a captive agent before, we are trying to squeeze you into our product because that's what we have. Versus, you know what, you're going to get turned down with our product, so I've got to go somewhere else. It's very difficult.
Exactly. And they may not know, you know, that there's other options out there. So you may be going to a captive agent and they say, oh, well, yeah, our product's the best, but you're not going to qualify. They may not know that there are other products out there that you can qualify.
Yeah, we sell Fords. We don't really, oh, we didn't know Chevy had that option. So anyway, but there's lots of information. Again, you can all listen to our podcast. If you missed part of it, we just kind of explain the underwriting process. And then the other part of the underwriting process for me, what I tell people is, number one, we're going to help you design a plan. We're going to start with your health. We're going to make sure that you qualify. And then let's figure out the most efficient way to fund this plan. And that is just what sets us apart. I will tell you, I see these people that come in with these quotes, and I'm asking, how did you get to this number? Why are you funding it this way? And a lot of them like, I don't know. This is just what they gave me. It's because these people aren't asking these questions. And what we have here, this is where we talk about a client of the week every week. And I bring in an example of how we helped out a client and helped them design and put a plan in place. And the client of the week this week is William, who is 66. He's married to Kathy. Kathy already has long-term care insurance. She got it through her prior employer years ago. And this was something, you know, Bill just said, I just never really thought I needed it. You know, I wasn't willing to spend the extra money per paycheck because she got it through her work. And he's like, I didn't want to really do it. I just didn't think I needed it. He had good assets. He thought I, you know, did a good job saving. I'm not going to need it. Well, Bill's 66 now. And he just is watching a family friend, a longtime friend, go through this. The husband was just had a stroke. It's been going on for 3 years now. He just had a second stroke, and he is watching what this long-term care event is doing to his friend and his friend's wife. And he's saying, you know what? I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
Time and gravity starts to catch up with all of us, and that's where Bill was at. So he said, hey, it might be too late, but I want to look into this. And it wasn't too late. He had lots of options. And I think the biggest thing that Bill was worried about, he said, look, if that happens to me, I don't want to compromise the quality of my wife's life, especially if she lives longer than me. And folks, that's what we do. I think that long-term care planning, number one, is a gift to your family. Because otherwise, you know, I hear a lot of people just say, I'm just going to end it. My dad was one of those guys. I'll just go out in the back 40 and, you know, just you know, put me out of my misery. I'm not going to go here. I'm not going to go to a nursing home. I'm not going to do this. And the truth is, you know what? Your family's going to become physically and emotionally broken, taking care of you, because that's what we do. We take care of the people we love. And the downside is, if you have a wife that's going to outlive you in Bill's situation, he's worried about that. He goes, you know, we're fine right now. Our nest egg is good, but not if I do what my friend's doing and end up blowing through a huge amount of money. But, you know, I need another, you know, $400,000-$600,000 that I burn out of the estate. What's that going to do to the quality of life for my wife? So he had a lot of issues, and it was just, you know, kind of the come to Jesus meeting that I said. He saw this firsthand with his friends, and that's what motivated him to say, you know what, I should have looked into this years ago. It's kind of selfish of me not to have long-term care. His wife is all on board for him getting long-term care. So they came to a class. They learned about some of these new programs, and we were able to design a plan for him. And I will just tell you, this is one of my favorite ways to do long-term care planning. I just love this. Because Bill had an existing life insurance plan.
Yeah.
So I know there's tens of thousands of people out there that, you know, have in the Seattle area that are listening to this show that have life insurance. And what I'm talking about, life insurance with some kind of value, a surrender value or a cash value. That means it's a permanent policy. So Bill had taken this policy out years ago, like when he was 30. And like a lot of us, I have insurance that I took out when my kids were young, because I want to guarantee that if something happens to me, that there's income there for my family. Well, he's lived now. His threat of death isn't the biggest worry anymore. Now it's a long-term care event. So when we were sitting down and we were just going through all of his finances, saying, tell me about your money. Where's your retirement accounts? Where's this? What do you want? How do you see it? And then he says, oh, by the way, I have this life insurance. Do you have any value in this life insurance? He says, yes, I do. So we looked at that, and folks, it's one and done. Bill is done. And let me show you what we did for him. We took a single deposit of $136,482. This was the cash surrender value in his existing life insurance policy. So what that means is, if he called up the company today and said, hey, you know what? I just want to cancel my life insurance. They're going to send him back $136,000. That's what they're going to do. So that's the surrender value. Well, under the Pension Protection Act rules, we can take that money and we can do a 1035 exchange into a different program, into a new long-term care program. Now, he had a little over, the policy originally was $250,000 of death benefit, which, you know, back, he was laughing because he goes, back in the day, that seemed like all the money in the world. Mm-hmm. Well, it was a permanent policy. It has grown. It's a little bit over $300,000 now of death benefit is what he has as existing policy. But he's also paying a premium of a little over $2,000 a year, basically, to keep this policy in force. So he's sitting there saying, well, the cash value is growing by, you know, $4,000 a year or so, so I don't mind paying the $2,000, but I have access, if he needs it for long-term care, to $136,000. That's all he has. Well, that's a good start, but that's all the money you have on this, that life insurance policy. Is you can get the cash value out of it, but you have to die to get the full death benefit out of it. So we took that $136,000, exchanged it into a new asset-based long-term care plan that provided him $7,890 a month for 6 years. So that's about $95,000 roughly, just shy of $95,000 of tax-free long-term care benefit for 6 years. So do the math on this. I mean, all of a sudden the guy goes from, you know, to $588,000 of long-term care coverage by taking the cash value out of an existing life insurance policy that he has and just repositioning it. It's taking it out of one pocket, we're putting it in another pocket, but before we put it in the second pocket, we're going to put all these features on it. And one of them is long-term care insurance. Now, he doesn't lose his death benefit either. He had a $300,000 death benefit. He's going to trade that in for $189,000 death benefit. So his point is saying, well, people say, well, wait a second, I'm losing money on that. No, because he's most likely going to use long-term care. He's got almost $600,000 he can pull out of this policy tax-free right now for long-term care. And if he uses all $600,000 of this plan, he still gets a guaranteed death benefit at the end, what they call a guaranteed minimum death benefit of $37,000. So as you've heard me say, and Bill picked up on this, he's like, that's my funeral fund. I'm like, that's right. That's a pine box down the road for you. And the thing is, it's like, think about what he did. He took an existing life insurance policy. He transferred it over into this long-term care plan. He still has $189,000 death benefit. And he's got $600,000 roughly of long-term care that's going to come out to him tax-free at $7,800 a month, $7,890. That is just a wonderful program. And here's the icing on the cake on this. He is no longer paying the $2,100 a year for his life insurance.
Yeah.
Now, why would you do a transfer on this versus just canceling your policy and buying a new policy? Well, because there's a, what we look at is we look at the cost basis. So if I have a life insurance policy that has cash value, what's happening is that cash value is growing. It's a tax deferred event. It's tax free. If I just die, I get all that money back. I get the death benefit. But what happens if I cancel that policy? Now the IRS looks at it and says, how much did you put into this policy? Well, he put in roughly just a little bit under $80,000 over the years into this policy. Now he's got $136,000 of cash value, so that $50,000 gain would be a taxable event. Mm-hmm. Well, under the Pension Protection Act, we say, look, we can take that cash value, including that $50,000 gain, move it over to this long-term care contract. Now, if he dies, he gets the death benefit on the new policy, but if he ends up in long-term care, he gets to pull out $7,890 every month tax-free. So he's not going to pay any tax on any of that gain. So it works that way for life insurance, and it works that way for annuities. Now, one last thing that I talk about on this plan, this is what's just great about this plan is a cash benefit plan. So that means when he triggers a claim, he goes on claim, he gets a check for $7,890. He does not have to send in receipts. He does not have to have a licensed healthcare worker providing that care. He can hire family members. He can pay his wife. He can pay for what they call informal care, which is your family members taking care of you, mm-hmm. which is what most people, that's how most people get their long-term care services in this country. 2 out of 3 people are depending on their family. So it's just a really, I mean, he was just tickled pink because he's sitting there saying, look, I made $2,000 basically, because he's like, I don't have to pay the premium anymore. He goes, I've got $600,000 of long-term care insurance tax-free, and I still have some death benefit. This is a win-win-win for him.
Yeah. Anytime we run across these situations, it's just a home run, because you basically already had a long-term care insurance plan. You just needed to move it over and then turn it on.
Yeah. And the problem with his existing life insurance is he could stop making the $2,100 payments, but what would happen is that cash value would start getting eaten up to pay to keep that life insurance policy in force. And if he just walked away and canceled the life insurance policy, well, then he would have to pay tax on that $50,000 gain. So just a lot of advantages. And again, I know on the radio, this is hard, but I'm telling you what, if you have life insurance and there's value in that life insurance, I want you to go to that filing cabinet and pull it out, because that is what the Pension Protection Act did for us. It allows us to do a 1035 exchange and take an existing product, add a bunch of features to it, and stick it right back in the other pocket and get all this wonderful long-term care coverage. And I'm telling you, his wife is so pleased right now, but she knows, she's like, if something happens to him, they don't have to start draining down the retirement account. They don't have to worry about where they're going to get this $95,000 a year from. It's going to be coming in.
And it's not going to affect their lifestyle.
That's right. It's going to come in like clockwork, and it just really protects everybody. So we're going to head into our final break, and stick around. We've got a little bit left here on Long-Term Care Radio. We'll be right back.
Due to recent changes in the Pension Protection Act, new asset-based plans guarantee a tax-free benefit for long-term care and pay you back with interest if you never use it. Learn more and sign up for one of Brian's free classes at 525longtermcare.com.
One of the biggest mistakes you can make heading into retirement is not planning for the high costs of an extended healthcare situation. A lot of people assume they have enough money saved only to watch everything they've worked hard for get whittled down to nothing from the ongoing costs of a long-term care situation. Do not make this mistake. By putting a long-term care plan in place, you guarantee yourself a source of funds to pay for care when needed, and you also know you won't become a burden on your family. Do what my wife and I did. Go learn about the all-new long-term care plans offered by 525 Advisors. These new plans protect your savings, protect your family, and pay you back if you never use them. Learn more by attending one of the upcoming classes taught by Brian Ott, who's host of Long-Term Care Radio right here on Cairo. Brian has a long-term care planning class coming up Saturday, November 16th. Seating is limited, so sign up today at 525longtermcare.com. It's a free class. You'll get a copy of Brian's book, too. 525longtermcare.com.
My dad would always say the 3 worst words in the English language were shoulda, coulda, and woulda. So many people with retirement right around the corner or in the middle of it have the shoulda, coulda, wouldas facing them. They're not proactive. You didn't take care of the will. You didn't take care of the trust. They didn't do what was needed to do when it came to real estate and taxes. So right now, let's avoid the shoulda, coulda, wouldas and call Rick Gregorick. Rick Gregorick is my estate planner. I sat down with Rick, explained my situation. He walked me through all the different variables, whether it was a trust or a charitable trust, real estate or taxes. It is so complicated. You've got to rely on an expert like Rick, who is so kind and knowledgeable about all of it. So be proactive. Take control of your life now. You can schedule a complimentary consultation at yourpartnerinlaw.com. You can also listen to Rick's show, Your Partner in Law, every Sunday morning at 9 on Cairo and KTTH. Your Partner in Law with Rick Gregorick, my estate planner, yourpartnerinlaw.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. All too often, investors are solely focused on gains and are not focused on loss prevention. At Bulwark Capital, is that something you guys are laser focused on?
We sure are, Dory. And here's why. A 20% loss requires a 25% gain just to get back to even, but a 50% loss requires a 100% gain to get back to even. And that's why all of our portfolios are designed to mitigate the possibility of a catastrophic loss that could threaten the quality of your retirement.
Do you know if your investment strategies for retirement are set up to minimize the chance of a catastrophic loss? Get a hold of Zach at Bulwark Capital, 866-779-RISK. He'll send you a brand new copy of Common Sense Investing, 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement in place or the firm's license to conduct business. Bulwark Capital Management's a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Staying in control of your care options is a better alternative than letting the government decide for you. Welcome back to Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott, certified long-term care planning specialist with 525 Advisors.
Well, I just got to push the right button there to get my voice to work on the radio. So, again, thanks for tuning in to Long-Term Care Radio. It's a Saturday morning. We are headed over to Bellevue for our long-term care planning class, so we're looking forward to meeting a bunch of new people. And if you still have, time in your schedule or something's changed, come over and join us. We are in Bellevue right off of the southeast 8th exit. You can get the information on our website at 525longtermcare.com. Again, 525longtermcare.com. We have room for a couple people. So,
and this is our last class in February or October.
October.
I think it's February.
Yeah, you're thinking Valentine's Day or something, right?
So. No.
Yeah, we've got this is the last class for October, and then we're going to roll into November, and we will have that class up on the schedule probably next week or the first part of this week. So we've talked a little bit today about just, you know, some of the underwriting process, how insurance carriers look at it, what the process is, including phone interviews, or do you have to do a face-to-face? And so all that is available on the podcast if you missed the beginning of the show. The client of the week, again, Bill, just, gosh, I love these plans. If you have an existing annuity or you have an existing life insurance contract that has value in it, has a surrender value, all you need to know about the life insurance is, if I cancel this policy, will I get some money back? That portion we can take and we can do a 1035 exchange into a plan. And if you have life insurance, you're still going to have life insurance. If it's an existing annuity, you're still going to have cash value in an existing annuity. It's just that now we're going to link some long-term care coverage to it and make the whole thing tax-free. And all of that was, you know, a benefit of the Pension Protection Act. They basically gave us these new ways to fund long-term care plans. So I've got a couple right now we're doing an annuity on. I've got several life insurance contracts that I'm working with because if I've got this life insurance like Bill did sitting in the drawer, it's like I can keep making those payments. And yeah, when I die, the estate gets to $300,000. But what happens if I get sick? Mm-hmm. I need long-term care. Well, I can tap into the life insurance and get $136,000 of long-term care coverage. Or I can convert it over to one of these new policies and get $600,000 of long-term care coverage tax-free. And I still have a death benefit. So it's just kind of a no-brainer when you do the math and you sit down and you see how these plans work. And, oh, by the way, you can get rid of that annual payment that you're paying if you still have a payment on the life insurance because you can fund one of these long-term care contracts with a lump sum. Or, in this case, if Bill wanted additional coverage, he could have done the lump sum and he could have made 10 payments or 5 more payments of additional money if he wanted to. So there's a lot of flexibility and a lot of options on there. But, again, that's kind of the idea for us is to bring these examples to you so that you understand. There's so much misinformation out there. And I was talking at the beginning of the show at the event that I was at where a guy was explaining how a life insurance company takes your money for an annuity and they just put it in the S&P 500 and they make all the money and they give you 3% or 4% instead of the 8%.
That is not how it works.
They are so wrong. Now this attorney that was spewing this information out, he got that information from his financial advisor. Well, his financial advisor is basically saying, look, annuities are bad, right? Annuities are bad. Well, they don't even understand how they work or the fact that the annuities have been around forever. And the insurance company is taking that risk to say, look, you will not lose a dime if the market goes down 20%. However, if the market goes up 10%, we're going to cap your growth at 5%. That's what they do. So they're buying options, but the money is in bonds. And what this attorney missed and what a lot of the financial advisors miss and what there's so much information about insurance products in general is think about this. If insurance companies invested in the stock market and the stock market goes down 40%, what would happen to the insurance company? they would be out of business tomorrow. In 2008, every insurance company would have been blown up. And they can't do that legally. They are guarantees. So they have to have that money in guaranteed cash reserves. Who bought all the government bonds in the Great Depression? It was the big insurance companies, right? The ones that are still around. One America, New York Life, Northwestern. You hear these names out there, these big mutual companies. Their money is not sitting in the stock market. Now, if they have excess reserves and excess gains, they can buy things like real estate. They can do some things. They can have they buy options in the market to pay those gains on the annuities so they can give the people the 5% up. But the money is not at risk. And so we get that, you know, we get that stuff spewed out there all the time. And there's a dozen radio shows that start talking about investing. And it's like they're anti-insurance. It has to be either or. And I will tell you, in all my years of experience, the people that build wealth and the people that leave legacy and pass wealth on have a combination of both. Mm-hmm. You don't need all your money in insurance products and you don't need all your money in the stock market. You need a combination of both because the insurance guarantees that the money that's in the stock market doesn't have to get spent down from a long-term care event in what we do, or that your spouse doesn't have to burn through the savings quicker because you died earlier than expected, right? And I get kind of, you know, personally fired up about this because my father died at age 60. He was in an accident and he was still working and he had a business and his advisor, his financial advisor told him, look, he had a life insurance policy, kind of like my client of the week, like Bill did. And he said, look, you have this cash value in this policy. My father had taken this policy when he got out of the service and it served him well. They built up some cash value. They borrowed that cash value. They helped to grow their business with it. But underneath it all, they knew that if something happened to my dad, it was going to pay this tax-free death benefit. And so they said, no, you don't need it. The house is paid. The kids are all grown and gone. You should take that cash value and put it in the market because look at what the S&P 500 does. I can grow it at this, and that. My mom said no. And guess what? It was a saving grace for her because my father died in an accident at 60. That death benefit paid out. Mm-hmm. Now, if that portion, that the death benefit was more than twice as big as the cash value. If you would have taken the cash value and put it in the market, what would have happened to it? It would have got blown up in the 2008 crisis. Mm-hmm. So I get really fired up about that. Does that mean that my parents don't have money in the market? No, that's not it at all. It's like understanding what insurance does and how it works and why insurance companies can guarantee a benefit to you. And we get that question all the time. What happens if the insurance company isn't there? And I'm going to do a show on this next week. I'm going to talk about the guarantees and why insurance is so important. But ultimately, you have to understand, as soon as one company can't pay an insurance claim, it doesn't matter what kind of insurance it is, auto, home, health, life, disability, if they can't pay that claim, then the insurance is worthless. Mm-hmm. And if your neighbor just died early, and they went to turn in their life insurance policy and the insurance company said, oh, sorry, we can't do that because the market didn't perform. We can't pay the death benefit. Nobody would buy life insurance. Mm-hmm. We buy insurance for the guarantee and long-term care is no different. We are not sitting there saying we're going to outperform what the market does. I don't care what the market does. What I'm saying in Bill's situation here is that I know that if I need long-term care, I have $7,890 coming in tax-free every single month for 6 years. Now, where else can I get that guarantee? You can't. You can go take your own $588,000 and stick it in a multiple bank accounts to get the FDIC insurance, but that's what you have. You basically have the money you have. You can go stick it in a safety deposit box, but you can't put it in the stock market because you don't know what the stock market's going to do. It could go down 40% and you could trigger a claim. So what we're doing is we're saying, look, this is a guarantee. Save the probabilities for the investment, save the probabilities for the long term. But we don't know when a long-term care event's going to happen. We don't know when death is going to happen. We don't know when a disability is going to happen. That's why we have insurance, is we get the guarantee. And I know that regardless of what happens to me, if I walk out the door and get hit by the bus, my family's taken care of because I have those guarantees in place. I'm not worried about what my market's doing, or my wife doesn't have to sit there and say, oh, well, he didn't have the, he needed 20 more years of working to save for the retirement plan for us to be okay. So anyway, kind of went on a tirade there, but come learn about long-term care. Sign up for one of our classes. We'll have another one up on the board here next week for our November class, and we'll look forward to seeing everybody here a few minutes away. We're going to head right over to Bellevue. So thanks for tuning in to Long-Term Care Radio. We'll be back next week with another show.
Thanks for listening to Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott. Event info, planning resources, and long-term care radio podcasts can all be found at 525longtermcare.com. To schedule an appointment with Brian Ott, call 425-748-8188. That's 425-748-8188. For more information on the show or to sign up for a free long-term care planning class, visit 525longtermcare.com. Tune in next Saturday morning at 7 to Long-Term Care Radio with your host, Brian Ott, on Cairo Radio.